In our everyday lives, most of us, most of the time, prefer good news to bad news. For example, as someone who does a lot of preaching, after I've preached a homily, and I find myself shaking hands after Mass, I like to hear comments like, "Ooh, Bishop Janke, that was a wonderful sermon. I'd love to hear you preach. Bishop, you're so good." But you know, some of the comments that would perhaps do me real good would be much less complimentary. They would probably only come from a friend, perhaps from someone who knows me well, from a fellow priest, or from Monsignor Deptula, my master of ceremonies, who drives me all around central Illinois and has to listen to me week after week, month after month, year after year. If he wanted to be honest, he might say, "Well, Your Excellency, I heard that one before." Or, "Your Grace, kind of windy today. I guess you didn't have much time to get ready." Or perhaps the very worst comment might be, "I don't think what you said had anything at all to do with what the Scriptures said." You know, it really doesn't matter if it's being a bishop, being a judge or a lawyer, working for the government, being a teacher, being a member of an athletic team, being in a friendship or a marriage, or a member of a parish. Sometimes it's the bad news, the challenging word, even the criticism that helps us to grow, that keeps us alive and open, capable of making timely and necessary changes. Our Savior Jesus Christ was certainly not the kind of friend or teacher who only delivered feel-good messages. Today's gospel reading from Mark is typical of the Lord's willingness to say the hard things that his disciples needed to hear but didn't particularly want to hear. In fact, the entire gospel of Mark, from the start to the finish, is a deliberate challenge to those Christians who somehow think they can enjoy the glory of Easter Sunday without any reference to the cross of Good Friday. Theologically, the persistent insight of the Gospel of Mark is that it is impossible to adequately understand the life of Jesus or to embrace his grace and mercy without first looking squarely at his death upon the cross. For the evangelist Mark, the cross is the defining moment in the earthly life of Jesus. His life-giving death was the cup of suffering he had to drink and the baptism he had to undergo. And fundamental to knowing and believing in Jesus is the demand that all those who would be his disciples should also be willing to give all that we have and all that we are rather than to lose the Lord. To believe in Jesus means to die to sin and take up our cross and follow him. That's the demanding challenge of the gospel. That's the essential condition for being born again and truly embracing the gospel of the Christian life. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, wanted thrones of glory on either side of Jesus Christ, but they did not yet understand the Lord's throne was a cross. So Jesus teaches his disciples a hard truth, a challenging, indeed a life-changing word. He asked the sons of Zebedee, and he is really asking you and me as well, Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Then, with more enthusiasm than wisdom, James and John immediately answered, "We can." But Jesus goes on to explain that his cup would be a cup of suffering. His destiny was to lay down his life for the salvation of the world. He came to serve, not to be served. Jesus would give everything he had, even down to the last drop of his blood, for the ransom of many. Now, I'd like you to look just for a moment to that powerful portrait of the crucifixion, which is hung over the altar of our cathedral. It comes from the first St. Mary's Cathedral, a modest wooden structure once located where we now have the east parking lot of the Spalding Pastoral Center. It was painted in the 17th century. It is of the school of Velázquez. It's apparently worth a fortune, and nobody knows how in the world it ever found its way to Peoria, when our city was still basically a rough and ready frontier river town. But the really important thing is that an image of the crucified hangs over every altar in every Catholic church everywhere in the world, because in accord with the admonition of the Scriptures, we preach Christ crucified. We proclaim his death until he comes in glory. Discipleship for the sons of Zebedee living 2,000 years ago, and discipleship for us living today, is about the imitation of Christ. For bishops and priests, for judges and lawyers, for public officials, for all elected to public office, for every Christian believer, discipleship means keeping the promises we have made before God and one another. Discipleship means being faithful to our spouses, to our children, and to our parents. Discipleship means being honest in our professions and our businesses. Discipleship means being faithful to the gospel, even when the world hates us or mocks us, because we stand for the truth of the gospel. Discipleship means being willing to stand up for our faith, even ready to fight for what is right. Jesus showed us there are some things worth living for, and even some things worth dying for. Remember, Jesus was like us in all things but sin. As today's second reading from the letter to the Hebrews reassures us, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Jesus, too, was tested, and he endured a bitter passion for our sake, so that we can confidently approach the throne of grace and find help in all our needs. Every Mass makes present the one perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Every Mass is therefore a challenging sign that all of us need to die to the kind of selfishness that leads nowhere, so that we can be born again to a generosity that leads to union with God. So let's all try to hear what we really need to hear about the cross of Christ. The cross is the altar of sacrifice for Christ, our high priest. The cross is the towering pulpit for Christ, our teacher and our prophet. The cross is the glorious throne for Christ, our Lord and our God. May we all go strong in the endless grace of his holy cross, and so share in his life his death and his most wondrous resurrection.